Good morning, Your Honors. Thank you. May it please the Court, my name is Sadia Sadiq, and I represent the petitioner in this case, Mr. Barragan Mora. This case resolves around a question of law as to whether Mr. Barragan Mora is eligible to file for relief from removal under former Section 212C, and whether the Board correctly applied its precedent decisions to his case, and also whether the BIA abused Mr. Barragan Mora's statutory right to apply for adjustment of status under INA Section 245 when it denied him the opportunity to at first initially wait for a marriage license and then subsequently adjudication of his I-130 visa petition, which in turn would render him statutory eligible to adjust his status. Contrary to the government's position, Mr. Barragan Mora is eligible for Section 212C relief. He pleaded to the offense in question on December 19, 1996. The version of Section 212C applicable to his case is that which limits 212C eligibility to those subject under the AEDPA versions of 1996. Now, the AEDPA version indicates that a person who has committed a criminal offense covered under former Section 241A2B of the INA.
Counsel, I think you need to address the question whether we have jurisdiction to consider any of this. It's obviously antecedent to the merits.
Absolutely, Your Honor. We posit, Your Honor, that this Court does have jurisdiction, first of all, because this case concerns a question of law, and that is whether or not the correct version of Section 212C has been applied in foreclosing Mr. Barragan's eligibility for relief. And then secondly, as I've pointed out, there's the ancillary question of whether or not he was denied his statutory right to pursue a form of relief from removal. Your Honors, we would submit that this Court retains jurisdiction over those matters, both under its this Court's decisions as well as the Board of Immigration Appeals' decision. At the heart of this case is...
Lost. Okay. Board of Immigration Appeals' decisions don't give us jurisdiction.
That's correct, Your Honor, but when the Board fails to follow its own precedent on an issue on point, which is whether or not someone is eligible to apply for a Section 212C waiver in conjunction with an application for adjustment of status to essentially waive two grounds of inadmissibility and deportability. And the Board failed to follow Matter of Gabrielski and Matter of Azurin, which we would posit are on point in Mr. Barragan Mora's case. In failing to follow its own decisions, Your Honors, it has in turn denied Mr. Barragan Mora, again, the statutory right to pursue adjustment of status, as well as his other forms of relief. And over those issues, we would submit, Your Honor, this Court retains jurisdiction. Again, going to the issue of eligibility for 212C relief, the AEDPA version that Mr. Barragan Mora is eligible to file under indicates that a person who has committed a criminal offense, it specifically indicates, covered under former Section 241.
Are you acquainted with our decision in Ali against Gonzalez?
Yes, Your Honor.
Notice your brief doesn't discuss it, but you certainly devote a good deal of your time in the brief to complaining about the denial of a continuance. And, of course, Ali holds that we lack jurisdiction to review such complaints. It would be appropriate for you to discuss it.
Yes, Your Honor. With respect to the continuance, again, in Ali, the issue was his pursuing a discretionary grant of adjustment of status. In this particular case, Your Honor, Mr. Barragan Mora was denied the option of even being able to file a visa petition. Now, the I-130 visa petition does, in fact, make him eligible then to file for adjustment of status. However, under the circumstances in this case, it would have been appropriate for the immigration judge to grant a continuance for him to be able to file that visa petition.
Does this make the holding and rationale of Ali inapplicable?
Your Honor, the facts in those circumstances were also different because the government...
Ali didn't say, we have no jurisdiction because it was appropriate to deny the continuance. Ali said, we have no jurisdiction to review whether the IJ should have granted the continuance. I don't think one can distinguish a jurisdictional decision by saying, yes, but in this case, the IJ should have granted a continuance.
Right. I understand, Your Honor. But again, in this particular circumstance, the issue concerned the I-130 visa petition. And also, I know that the government cites to Iqbal Ali as well as Petey v. Gonzalez. And we would submit that those cases are materially different from this particular circumstance, because in those situations, this Court premised its decision on the basis that those applicants had other hurdles to overcome in order to be able to file for adjustment of status. In this particular case, that is not the situation. There is a visa petition filed by a USC sponsor, which Mr. Barragan-Mora should have been eligible in order to receive a decision from. And, of course, once that visa petition has been adjudicated and approved, he then becomes statutorily eligible immediately to file for adjustment of status. And I also wish to point out that before the immigration judge, there was a separate visa petition which was filed by his United States citizen mother, which the immigration court just simply discounted and indicated it wasn't an immediate eligibility. But again, in line with the Gabrielski rubric, then Mr. Barragan-Mora would have then been eligible to file for adjustment of status and have relief from removal. We're dealing with a situation where we have a longtime permanent resident who had relief from removal, and the immigration judge and the Board of Immigration Appeals simply did not allow him to file for those forms of relief. And again, the government attempts to get around that by indicating, well, he would not have been eligible anyway. But those arguments lack merit, because the government's own regulations with respect to the 212C application at 1212.3H2, and again, those regulations, as this Court pointed out in the Valerie decision, are regulations post-St. Cyr and, of course, the statutory schemes at AEDPA and IRA-IRA. And those regulations refer to eligibility for those who pleaded between April 24, 1996, and April 1, 1997, as limiting that with reference to Section 440D of AEDPA. So, Your Honors, we would submit that Mr. Barragan-Mora has, in fact, shown he is and was eligible for Section 212C relief. Therefore, the issue concerning the adjustment of status and the continuance becomes all the more important. And
doesn't he have a weapons offense that falls outside that time period?
Correct, Your Honor. We are not seeking, again, the Section 212C relief for the weapons offense. The Section 212C relief was for the other non-narcotics conviction.
But doesn't the weapons offense make him ineligible for any form of relief anyway?
The weapons offense does not make him ineligible, we would submit, because under Gabrielski, he can file a, once he has the 212C to waive the ground of inadmissibility for the other non-narcotic schedule, he can then file an adjustment of status application, and as a matter of discretion, that would cure the weapons offense, because the weapons offense is just a ground of deportability. There is no counterpart to a ground of inadmissibility. And thus, he would be eligible to file for adjustment of status. Just with my remaining time, I'd like to address a side issue which the government has pointed out in their brief concerning whether or not this court can review this case because we did not file a motion to reopen from a separate petition for review on the motion to reopen. First of all, just briefly, the government is citing Gao. We believe that those facts are not applicable because in that case the board on its own motion had reopened the petitioner's case and thus divested this court of jurisdiction. And I would like to also draw this Court's attention to a Tenth Circuit case, which we believe is on point, and that is Desta v. Ashcroft.
Have you filed a Rule 28J letter?
Your Honor, I have not, but if this Court
And you
requires...
may not mention the case.
Okay. Yes, Your Honor. But
this thing should have been covered in a reply brief. Oral argument is not a substitute for a reply brief.
I understand that, Your Honor. But with respect to Gao, which was raised by the government, again, they're relying upon that we're attempting to somehow thwart the jurisdictional deadlines. But what the Supreme Court was concerned about in the Stone case. Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Fasher.
May it please the Court, my name is Lauren Bissett, and I represent the United States Attorney General, the respondent in this case. There are only two legal questions that this Court needs to decide today. The first is whether Mr. Barragán's controlled substance conviction renders him inadmissible under the INA, and the second is whether he's eligible for 212C relief to waive this ground of inadmissibility. And I will answer both those questions in one moment, but I must state first that the reason those are the only questions this Court need decide is because Mr. Barragán is clearly removable as a criminal alien because of his firearms conviction, which also constitutes an aggravated felony, and also for a controlled substance conviction. Therefore, this Court's jurisdiction is limited under INA 242A2C to only reviewing constitutional claims or legal questions pursuant to 242A2D. So, moving on to those questions, the first question, his controlled substance conviction clearly renders him inadmissible under 212A2AI Roman numeral 2. He was charged with and pled guilty to the offense of other narcotic in violation of 720 Illinois Compiled Statutes 570/401E. The certified statement of conviction in the record shows that he pled guilty to that charge. The indictment in the record shows that the controlled substance involved was PCP. That drug is listed.
I don't believe it's a narcotic, but I don't think that matters.
That doesn't matter, Your Honor. Just it's a controlled substance which is listed in Title 21 of the United States Code, Section 802. Therefore, he's inadmissible under 212A2AI2. If he had any argument about this, it would be the petitioner's burden to show that he was not inadmissible. He is applying for relief in this case. So he has to comply with showing that he's statutory eligible under 240 C2A and C4A. And he has not offered any evidence to the contrary. So it's clear that he is inadmissible under this ground. Therefore, he needs 212C relief. Well, moving to the second question, he's ineligible for 212C relief. And this is also clear. Both the immigration judge and the board have found this. That's because AEDPA, Section 440D, amended 212C, saying that 212C relief would not be available to someone who had been convicted of certain crimes. Those included aggravated felonies, firearms offenses, and controlled substance offenses. Here, petitioner has all three of these. Therefore, he's clearly ineligible for 212C relief. Because this court's jurisdiction is limited because of these criminal grounds, there's no need to the court should not review any issue over the discretionary denial of a continuance. Therefore, those being the only two issues here, if the court has no questions for me, that the government would rest on its brief.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.